Message 7, The Spirit's Work in the Believers. Transformation, Anointing, Sealing, and Pledging.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I appreciate it from all the sharing. Isn't it good to hear testimonies? To hear personal testimonies, right? To hear how everyone got saved. And or how everyone got regenerated. And I appreciate it from everyone's sharing. Each one said that they were happy. Or they enjoyed something. Amen. Or they saw something from the saints. You know, there's a song. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Full of glory. Amen. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The Christian life is one of joy. Amen. You know, God makes us happy. Amen. And this joy, actually, you know, there's a lot of joys in the world, right? I don't know what other things make you happy, but those joys are not full of glory. But what we're experiencing here, when we experience being together with the saints, is a joy that's full of glory. Amen. Right? It's a holy joy. Amen. And actually, this joy, you know, many of you, I think one, a few would just say recently, in the last year, maybe some a few more years. But this joy, it says the half has never yet been told. So there's more joy. Amen. Actually, as you grow older in your Christian life, there's more joy. Amen. This morning, we're covering lesson 7. So you're going to need your outline so you can get that out quietly. You can have that ready. And this lesson is on the Spirit's work in the believers, too. So it's a continuation. The Spirit is doing a work in the believers. Yesterday, you had regeneration and sanctification. This morning, we're going to talk about transformation, anointing, sealing, and pledging. So I'm going to share in the beginning a little bit on this matter of transformation, and then Brother Frank will share with you on the rest. Now, let's read some verses. You all have the memory verses, right? On your outline. Let's read the first two verses, the memory verses. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's read that together. Do you have it? It's on page 13. Okay, let's go. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. Amen. So this is word transformed here into the same image. Okay, Romans 12:2. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Good. You know, this word transformation in the Greek is called metamorpho. Metamorpho. What English word does that remind you of? Metamorphosis, right? What's metamorphosis?
Change.
Change, yeah. Actually, there's a famous novel. I don't have Wi-Fi, so I couldn't look it up to verify. But I think I recall reading this when I was younger. It's the title of the book is Metamorphosis. Do you all know that book? Have you heard of that book?
No?
Okay. Some of the older ones, right? Is it Kafka?
Kafka,
okay. So I think, I couldn't confirm, but that story is about a man who changes into a cockroach?
A beetle.
He changes into a bug, right? So the title of this book is Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Actually, the Bible talks about a metamorphosis. You know what the metamorphosis is in the Bible? Sinners become sons of God.
Amen.
Right? Sinners becoming sons of God. I don't know how much you appreciate this. I think, you know, you're all young and you feel maybe you haven't done that much in the world, so there's not that much sin. But, you know, in the Bible, there's actually different accounts of sin. You have Zacchaeus, who stole money from people, right? He stole money from people. He was dishonest. And you have others, even the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. He persecuted others. And even when others were killing believers, he witnessed it, and he actually said, do that. And he was persecuting believers. Actually, other sinners in the Bibles, you have immoral women, right? Prostitutes. These were sinners. Yet, their fate was they became children of God, right? They became children of God. You know, your name is Stephen? Stephen. So if God came and says, Stephen, I'm going to make you a king. You're a king now.
Oh, yes.
All right.
No, I'm a king.
Do something kingly. Do something kingly. Was that kingly? No, I'm a king. Do something more.
Something kingly. Yeah. Kings always do that.
Yeah? No, I'm a king.
Oh, no.
Stephen, do you feel like a king?
No.
No, okay, good. Thanks for being honest. You know, the way God makes us his sons is not that he just comes and he says, okay, you're my son. It's not a label, right? It's not something that he just comes and says. It's not something outward that he comes, okay, you're king, I'm going to change your clothes and I'm going to do all this stuff on you. No, how does he do it? He actually does it by transformation, right? So the beginning step of this is that you covered this last night, regeneration. Regeneration, the divine life got into you and is like a seed, right? It's in you. And then sanctification actually is a process throughout our life where the spirit as life gets added into you little by little, day by day. This is not an instantaneous process, right? Actually, we all like things to be instant. You know, I have...
Instant noodles?
Yeah. But did you ever taste the ramen where you boil the water?
Yeah.
Right? And you put onions and you put... It's good. It's better, right? Instant noodles is good. But actually, things need to go through a process. It takes time, right? In my house, we started growing... Well, we had no trees. We actually took off all our old landscape and we had nothing. It was bare. So we started buying all these new trees and saplings. And we started planting them. And you know, gardening is very boring. It's very boring, right? Because you put the thing in there and what? You have to
wait.
And you have to
water.
You have to water, right? For a long time, you don't see something. And if you don't water, if you don't take care of it, actually eventually nothing will happen, right? So this is a process. You know, this verse that we read, we are being transformed. Transformation is a process. It doesn't happen once for all. It's continual, right? Eventually, as you water, things begin to grow. And when it grows, oh, you get very happy. You see something. Actually, if you look day by day, I used to look day by day, and nothing seems to happen. I get discouraged. But then I go away for a weekend, and there's a lot of rain. I come back, oh, it looks different. It looks different. You shouldn't look at yourself to see if there's any kind of change. Actually, you just take care of the watering, right? What other things... Well, let's read this Roman number 1 from the outline.
When life is imparted into us, the result is transformation. Transformation means to change our nature, essence, appearance, taste, and our whole being.
All right, I want to stop here. I want you to underline these words. Transformation means to change our nature, essence, appearance, and taste, and our whole being. Underline all these words. Okay, let's read, continue. It is not outward change.
Correction or adjustment, but it's all together an inward metabolic change of our being.
You this matter transformation is like a chemical reaction. What happens when the Spirit enters into you? Right? Sometimes we're in a meeting and then we enjoy the words. We enjoy reading the Bible. Right? Something, it feels like something's imparted into us. What happens when we receive this life, when we receive the Spirit? Actually, the result is transformation. It's a reaction, and it's likened to a chemical reaction. What is this chemical reaction? It changes something. It changes something in us. It changes our nature, essence, appearance, taste, and our whole being. You know, I don't know if you appreciate this, but you know, we have so many of us in this room. How many of us have different appearances? If you look at us, we look different. We dress different, right? We have a dress regulation, but actually, so you still dressed all differently, right? How about your taste, right? We all have different taste. I'll tell you a story about one of my sons. He's 7 years old, and you know, he's my son, and I love him. And I spend a lot of time with him, and I try to, you know, share all the best things with him, what I enjoy. But it's strange, you know. He likes to eat bread, right? And, well, I like bread. We had bread this morning, right? But he likes to eat bread with nothing on it. Yeah. Oh, you too, huh? Okay. So? Huh? Okay, let me finish the story. Okay, there's more time. He likes to eat bread with nothing on it. And so even bagels. So I would buy bagels, and then I would make breakfast for him. I'd cut it for him. I said, Mark, would you like some cream cheese on your bagel? And he's like, uh-uh. I love cream cheese on my bagel. Mark, put some cream cheese on your bagel. Uh-uh. I said, Mark. You know, actually, I get upset. Oh, I wish he could just enjoy cream cheese on his bagel, but he won't put it on. Why? Actually, it's his taste. Once in a while, sometimes he would say, okay, Daddy, and I would put it on his bread, and it would just sit there, and he wouldn't eat it, you know? You can't change his taste, no matter how much I want to. His taste is his taste, and my taste is my taste. But did you know that transformation, our taste, can be changed? How hard, how difficult is it for us to change our taste? Actually, the process of transformation will change our taste. Not by our choice that, oh, he's going to try to force yourself, oh, I'm going to eat this. No. But little by little, your tastes start to change. You know, how many things do we enjoy that's not good for us? Right? Don't name them. How many things do we get pleasure in, but we feel afterwards, oh, it wasn't right, right? Actually, there's even things in our nature. There's things in our nature that need to be dealt with. And how can we change our nature, right? Transformation, this process says our nature is being changed. Let's read on more in the outline. A, the divine life brought into us through sanctification is a divine element. When this element is imparted into our being, there is a reaction, and that reaction is transformation. Okay, B. In the physical body, okay, good. So this word comes out, metabolism, right? And again, it talks about a process. And it talks about cells, right? Cells. Old materials are discharged, and the new are added, right? Okay, how many of you were hungry this morning? All right, good. A number of you, right? Okay, say that you came to breakfast, and then you had food, and then you just put it in your mouth, but you didn't swallow it. What? Right? You had to just keep it in your mouth, right? Do you think that would make you feel strong? Yes. No? You think that will supply you?
No.
Maybe it might satisfy a little bit. You could taste it a little bit, right? But actually, does that benefit you? Does that fill your hunger? No, it doesn't, right? What do you have to do? You have to eat it. You have to swallow it. And actually, you chew so you can swallow it. And then what happens when you swallow it? Actually, it goes into your stomach and there's a chemical reaction. The food gets broken down into little itty-bitty bits. And then eventually, all the stuff that was in the food, it gets spread into your cells. You know, your body has billions and billions of cells. And then eventually, through this process, this metabolism, the food that you eat is supplied to your whole body, right? This is transformation. And actually, in this process, we don't realize it, but there's waste products. So the good stuff comes in, and all the bad stuff comes out, right? This is biology. This is biology, right? This is also our experience, right, in transformation. You know, transformation can change our nature. You know, we all have the human nature, it's a fallen human nature. And we all come from different cultures and backgrounds, right? I'm Korean, but I was born here in America. And not only in America, I was born in New York. So I'm a New York Korean American. And sometimes I meet someone from California who is Korean, but was born in California. So he's a California Korean American. And you know, there's some similarities, but there's also some differences, right, in the characters. One thing about Koreans, I've realized as a country, as the people, they're very, oh, sorry, I know there's a few Koreans here, but a little bit, I don't know if you would agree, they're hot-blooded. They're hot blood. Meaning you could kind of get fired up. Actually, this could be good, because in the gospel, you just love the Lord. Amen. Right? And many Koreans are missionaries. They go out to many places. Amen. Actually, many are just waiting for North Korea, the government, to collapse so they can just go there and minister Christ to people. Amen. Right? But there's this characteristics where their nature is just, oh, it's hot-blooded. And I remember visiting Korea, and so many times we're just driving around and I see traffic arguments. And the people get out of the cars and they start yelling at each other. They start, bah, 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 bah. I must have seen this 2 or 3 times. And one of the times, it was my aunt, a grandma. She came out and she was firing away, bah, 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 bah. Oh, she was actually quite good. It's not easy, you know. She talked down a man much younger than her, but oh, it's just fiery, right? You know, in a sense, this is our temper. It's our temper, right? Road rage, you heard of this, right? Some things that can make you angry. You know, what things make you angry, right? Sometimes when, while looking at my kids are still young, they're younger than you, but when I say no, right? They ask me something, Dad, can I do this? I say, no. Oh! You always say no. Right? And I thought, you know, I could have changed my mind, but now I don't want to, just because of the way you did that. You know? But it's just a reaction, right? You can understand it. It's within you. And actually, sometimes I can't blame it. I can understand, because you know what? I was like that too. It's like, oh! You just get upset and frustrated. You know, this is our nature, but transformation can change even this nature. Amen. Right? So this, in transformation, the old materials are discharged and the new are added. You know, we have this hymn, it's 255 in the hymnal. I am breathing out my sorrow. I am breathing out my sin. Amen. I am breathing all thy fullness in, right? You know, there are many things that make us sorrowful, there are many things that make us sin, but yet we can breathe them out. You know, when we call on the name of the Lord, we're not just breathing in, we're actually breathing out. You know, there's many times that I get really upset And I would say, as you get older, the number of things that make you upset increase. Wait till you have, well, you have brothers and sisters, some of you, but roommates, right? Or you have coworkers, but you know, you go, even people in your class, there might be someone who, you know this term? Pushes your buttons. They can push your buttons, right? They just know what it is to really make you upset, and you just lose it, right? I don't know, maybe this could be your sibling, younger brother or sister, your parents. Whenever someone comes and pushes your button, actually, you know, you can just call, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus." And as you're doing this, and I would say, just don't do it once or twice. You keep doing it. You keep doing it until you feel the anger and the, you know, you're being upset kind of come out. Actually, you keep doing it, you can feel the Lord filling in, right? This really works. Would you try this? Would you try this? This is transformation. This is how God makes us His sons. This is how we can even be changed in our nature. How can we change? You know, too often Christians, they try to change by their own effort. And the most you can do is just change outwardly, right? You can change maybe, you know, you could do all the outward things. You could pray, read, you could read the Bible, you could do everything. You could dress properly, you know, we have all these regulations. But it's all outward. Actually, we need to focus on the inward, the metabolic change. And that's by eating and drinking. That's really to touch Christ. It's not the doctrines. What is it that can transform us? It's actually just Christ Himself. Amen. So may He be added to us more and more. Amen. So I'll stop here. There's this point. The way to be transformed in Roman numeral 2 is by the renewing of our mind and our beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord. But you can talk about this in your groups. And I think in your small groups, you could also talk about what it means to change our nature, essence, appearance, taste. These are all very practical things, right? These are all very practical things. I think there's a lot of testimonies that can come out.
We need a change, you know? I think from some of the testimonies that the earlier, the 7th and 8th grade brothers and sister, they see that, oh, I like to be this kind of people. Or they see a group of people happy, enjoying the Lord. So they want to be this kind of people. So we as Christians are going through a change. But I want to underline what Brother Sam just mentioned. This change happened not outwardly, but starting from the inside. So these lessons on the Spirit's work within the believers are to help us. What is the Spirit doing inside of us? He is going to change you. He does not expect you to change all by yourself. That's impossible. That's a suffering, actually. To know that I need to be different and try to be different myself, that is not going to work. But what the Lord is doing today is to put His Spirit into you, and that Spirit is working in you to change you, to transform you. So we'll now come to these three other aspects of the Spirit's working in us. Let's read from your memory verse again. First Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Okay, so let's turn to those two verses. Maybe brothers can read 21 and sister 22. Go.
But the one who firmly attaches us with you unto Christ and has anointed us is God.
Sisters.
He who has also sealed us and has given the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge.
Okay. So I'd like you to circle three words from these two verses. First word is anointed. from verse 21. Anointed. So that's another aspect of the Spirit's work in us. He is anointing us. From verse 22, the word sealed. Sealed. Okay, sealed. S-E-A-L-E-D. And the last word, pledge. Pledge. And that's what I'm going to talk about, is these three aspects of the Spirit's work. First, God has anointed us. Right? God has anointed us. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. And then brothers on A, sisters on 1. Brothers on 2 and sisters on B. We'll alternate. The anointing is very mysterious, real, and experiential. Brothers. Sisters. Brothers, humanity, the effectiveness of Christ's death, the power of his resurrection, and the ability to bear responsibility. Sisters,
this anointing adds to us the very essence of God, the divine element. The more this anointing moves, the more it makes us the divine element.
Okay, so I'd like you to underline these phrase from A, anointing referring to the moving of the all-inclusive Spirit within us. Okay, either circle, highlight, or underline this phrase. Anointing referring to the moving of the all-inclusive Spirit within us. And maybe double circle the word moving. Moving. And then in point B, underline this phrase, the more this ointment moves, the more it paints us with the divine element. Okay, we've actually seen this in the prior lessons on the all-inclusive compound spirit, right? The anointing is a kind of an ointment that moves, okay? Maybe I'll ask Jonathan to come up, help me with the illustration. This is an ointment. This is a hand cream. It's got 7 intensive moisturizers, vitamin B, C, and E, right? So the function of the ointment, I'm just going to borrow your arm, okay? Let's say he's got dry skin, right? So this is the ointment. It's not an oil. Right? If you pour oil, it just drip right out. The ointment is a compound. There's vitamin A there, there's vitamin B there. You know, remember that little demonstration that Brother Dennis did with you? With all the ingredients that's compounded into that ointment. But what's the function of the ointment? It's to put on your hand, right? And it stays there. But it doesn't just stay there. Usually, what do you need to do? You need to move it, right? Move it. So the anointing or the ointment moves. It moves within you. So the Spirit that you have received in you doesn't just stay constant, passive, dormant. It moves. It moves. It's in your spirit, but often it try to move into the way you think. Maybe when you got to the summer school on Thursday or Friday, when you get the memory verse, you say, oh man, so many verses I have to memorize. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to memorize any verse. Maybe that you've decided you're not going to memorize any verse. But as the time goes on, the Spirit is moving into your concept about memory verses. Come on, it's just one verse. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Not that hard. Spirit is moving into your thought. Okay, it's not that hard. Try it. So when you come on Thursday, you have decided not to memorize any verses, but now the Spirit is moving little by little. And also, this is very slow. You know, when you apply the ointment, it's very slow, right? It's very slow. So the Spirit is little by little moving in you. Hey, just memorize that verse. Amen. And then once you memorize that verse, you feel, oh, not too bad. The Spirit may move a little bit more. How about that verse? Let's try to memorize that verse. And if you follow that anointing of the Spirit within you, you allow the Spirit to move a little bit more into your thought, into your concept about memory verse. Another example could be making your bed. How many of you have the habit of making, how many of you does not have a habit of making your bed? Okay, well, we have house inspection here, right? So when your house coordinator or the brother staying with you tell you, Jonathan, you got to make your bed. Well, you know, initially maybe there is a resistance. I'm going to sleep there again this afternoon. Why do I have to make my bed? Well, the Spirit is moving, anointing you. And coming with the anointing is actually, it mentions the divinity, the humanity, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Everything is compounded into this ointment. Right? So he's anointing Christ's divinity, humanity into you. Did you know that the Lord Jesus make his bed? Okay, thank you. Did you know that the Lord Jesus make his bed? Even after he died and resurrected. You know, there's a record in the gospel that shows, that says, when the Lord Jesus died and resurrected, of course, no one saw it, right? So when the first one that kind of realized is Mary, because an angel told Mary that the Lord Jesus had resurrected. So Mary went and told Peter and John. These are the Lord's close disciples. And then when they ran to the tomb, at first they wasn't sure, you know, what happened. But when Peter looked in and saw, you know what he saw? He saw the cloth. You know, when they bind the dead body, there's the cloth, right? He saw the cloth all folded. And there's also a handkerchief that usually put on the face of the deceased, of the corpse. And he saw that handkerchief also folded, separate from the cloth. It wasn't just lying around, right? If it's lying around, then you can argue maybe somebody took him. But when he saw that everything is nicely folded, he realized the Lord has resurrected. How? Why? Because the Lord, I believe the Lord used to make his bed. He make everything quite orderly. So that humanity, that diligence, that humanity of the Lord Jesus today is in the Spirit that dwells in your spirit. And when he's there moving into you. Yeah, I don't like to make my bed. I'm tired. But the Spirit is moving. You know, just make it nice. Just make it orderly. If you go along with that anointing, the Lord can have more weight in you. Amen. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 4. Let's read this point together. After the anointing comes the sealing. Any kind of painting is also a sealing. Hey, sisters, hey. Brothers, be. Amen. At the time when we were saved, God put His Holy Spirit into us as a seal to mark us out. So a seal indicates ownership, right? You usually just write your name on the on the folder that you got. But in the old time, they usually put a seal that bear a certain kind of image onto the things. And that indicates, that shows that things belongs to me. So when you seal something, that means that belongs to me and it doesn't belong to anyone else. Another good example is with the engagement and wedding ring. You know, one day you're going to grow up and you might be interested in a girl, right? And when you're proposing to that girl to spend the rest of her life with you, you usually get her a ring, right? And that's called the engagement ring. And if you gave her that ring and she say yes, that means she's yours. She's no longer anyone else. She belongs to you. And once you get married, I get a ring, right? And this is a reminder that I belong to someone, right? So when you believe in the Lord Jesus, when you are regenerated, what happened is God has put His seal on you. His Spirit's coming into you is a seal to indicate that you belong to the Lord. You don't belong to anyone else. And you know, the angels can see that, demons can see that. They can see that you are not the same as the worldly people. You belong to the Lord. This also shows us that the Lord is jealous over us. You know, once I put the engagement on my wife to be, right? And if she's still going out with some other guys, I'm jealous over that. I will be very jealous, right? Because she belongs to me, and she should not be going out with any other person. So this also shows that the Lord is jealous over us. He wants us to spend time with Him. I really like a verse that I want to read it to you. But before that, maybe you can circle this part in A. God is our owner, and that we belong to Him. So this aspect of the sealing of the Spirit shows us that God is your owner, and we belong to Him. One verse that I really like is Ephesians 4:30. Here it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." Here it says the Holy Spirit may be grieved. In the lesson 3, we see that the Lord is the indwelling Spirit, right? Even when we offend Him, we must not think that when we offend Him, He is going to leave us. He will stay within us, and He will stay within us forever. He will not leave because He's not happy with you. But He can be grieved. Grief is like making someone sad. Have you done anything that make the Lord sad? Well, often, the Spirit is in you, but you get a feeling that He's not so happy. Either because you're not spending enough time with Him, you're busy doing so many things, right? Or there may be something that you've done that makes Him unhappy. Now, before this verse says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth," our speaking a lot of times saddens the Lord. It could be a foul, abusive word that you hear a lot in school, right? And when that word came out of your mouth, inside you just have a feeling, oh, someone is not that happy, what you just said. Or it could be a word that cuts down people or really hurt others. Have you ever done this? You know, you're with a group of your friends, or maybe even here. You said something that just cut the other person. And as soon as that word left your mouth, you realize what you said hurt the other person. That kind of feeling within is the Lord telling you, I am not happy. I am grieved. And that is different from being angry. You know, sometimes I'm home, I'm angry with my kids. They're all on their things. So I just, you know, I say, give me all your iPhones and iPads. I just put them away. Right? That's when I'm angry. But sometimes I want to do something with my family, but they're all occupied, and I kind of just sat there sad. I feel that nobody, I want to play with them, but they don't want to play with me. Well, maybe Jonathan feels the same way too sometimes. So that's a reason of, that is the feeling of being grieved. And you know what happened when that, when you sense the Lord is jealous over you?
Amen.
Well, doesn't mean that you well, it may mean that you just have to put your device aside for a minute, right? Spend a couple minutes to talk to the Lord or to read your Bible. Actually, a good way for us to spend the time to know the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to us is to do our Bible reading. How many of you are reading the Bible consistently? Okay? Not everyone. You know, we need to pick up, we need to start reading the Bible. Right? Just start with the book, read it chapter by chapter, little by little. Because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is how God speaks to us. And He lives in you as the Spirit. The way for us to understand His speaking is through the Bible. Because that's the vocabulary of how He speaks to us. So many times if you give the Lord an opportunity, okay, you've caught enough Pokemons today. You know, how about just take a 10-minute break? Right? Or you've done a lot of, you're just so occupied in what you're doing, you know, in reading something. Just take a 10-minute break. If you get a sense that the Lord is sad, the Lord is calling you to spend some time with Him, to know Him, just take a 10-minute break and pick up the Bible. Read it. 10 minutes, you can read two chapters pretty easily. If you give that 10 minutes to the Lord, that will make the Lord happy. That allows the Lord to speak something to you, to spread more in you as the anointing, and to seal more in you as the seal. You know, the seal also bears an image. And you know, with the ink, right? I like to draw a little. We've seen this picture a lot, right? Right? This is us. Body, soul, and spirit. So at regeneration, the Lord comes into our human spirit, right? And mingle with our spirit. But He doesn't want to just remain there. He wants to spread out into different part of our soul. So this is actually the process of transformation that Brother Sam is talking about. So if you allow Him, give Him time, just 10 minutes to read the Bible, He can come out, He can spread out. It's like, it's also kind of like the ink. The more you get stamped, the ink started to spread out, right? From your spirit into different part of your soul, into your mind, emotion, and will. So that is on the sealing of the Spirit. Okay, let's turn over. No, not turn over. Let's read 5 on the pledging. Okay, let's read 5 together. Along with the anointing and sealing is the pledging. Ephesians 1:14 says that the Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance. Letters A. Ernest. All referring to a payment that guarantees the balance. But the Greek word also signifies a sample, a foretaste. Sisters B.
The pledging of the Spirit is given for our enjoyment. Through the Spirit's pledging,
we are encouraged and stirred up. Whenever we feel that the situation is hopeless, the pledging fills us with hope.
Amen. Okay, I'd like you to circle two words from A. The word guarantee. A pledge, earnest, and guarantee. Guarantee. And the last word, a foretaste. Foretaste. Now, this needs a little bit explaining. What is a pledge? A pledge. Anybody? Yeah? Huh? A promise. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. But often you might hear this word pledge is I pledge my money or I pledge my time. I promise to give you something. But the word here, it is a promise, but it has this background story of, you know, in the old time, if you have a land for sale, right? I say I have 2 acres of orchards growing peaches, right? I'm going to sell it to Joshua, right? And Joshua say, okay, I'm going to buy your orchard for $5,000. Then what they would do is they would take a sample of the soil. And maybe, you know, I'm growing peaches in my orchard. Maybe I'll bring a bag of peaches to you as a sample to give that to you. And that's actually my pledge to you. That's a pledge. So the pledge here means it's a sample of what you're going to receive later. It's also a guarantee that, you know, this is what you're going to get later. So it is a foretaste. So the Spirit in us, or the Spirit that we have received, is a foretaste. It's to tell us a little bit of all the enjoyments that you will receive later on. So it's a little foretaste that we have received. So this means that actually what we're enjoying today of the Spirit within us is not going to be something different that we will be enjoying for eternity in the New Jerusalem for the rest of our life. Earlier in our group, we had talked a little bit, what are we going to do in the New Jerusalem? Just singing, praising all the time? Well, I don't know if it's, I think there will be some singing and praising involved. But what we're enjoying today with the Spirit is no different than what we will be enjoying in the future. Now some of you may say, well, isn't that kind of boring? Or maybe I don't have that much appetite. My appetite for this kind of thing is not that big. But I just want to encourage you, our taste can be developed and must be developed, right? The Lord is giving us the Spirit as a pledge for our enjoyment, as a foretaste. And so what we're going to enjoy or doing later is not going to be anything different. We must develop a taste for the Lord, for the enjoyment of the Lord, right? So the Spirit in us is a pledge, as a foretaste. It's also a guarantee that this is what we will be enjoying for eternity. You know, God is going to accomplish His purpose no matter what, right? He is going to make us the same as He is for His expression. So this is a guarantee that this will happen. We may delay Him if we don't cooperate, but it will be much better today that we just allow the Lord to spread in us, to seal us, and enjoy Him as His pledge. Enjoy the Spirit as a pledge. Also, I know some of you may have this worry that after the Summer School of the Truth, you know, I enjoy it so much here, but what's going to happen afterwards? Well, I want to assure you that you enjoy very much the time here. It's not just because of all the recreation, of all the food. You're enjoying something here is because of the Spirit.
Amen.
You're touching your spirit.
Amen.
And you're enjoying the Word of God.
Amen.
And those things will go back with you. Even we can't bring this nice Camp Penuel back with us, but the Spirit is following you as the pledge. He's with you all the time. So when you turn and touch your spirit, the same kind of enjoyment that you have here will follow you even after the summer school of the truth. Okay, let's read 6 together. We need both the sealing and the pledging because in God's work on us, two kinds of inheritance are involved. In God's economy, we are an inheritance to God, and God is an inheritance to us. This is a mutual inheritance. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, we are made God's inheritance. So we're going to be something that God will enjoy. And in verse 14, it says that God will be our inheritance. So I'd like you to turn to your lesson book if you have one. We're going to read a little paragraph from this lesson book. On mine, it's page 80. I don't know, it may be a different page on yours. Under a mutual inheritance. Roman numeral 4, a mutual inheritance, 79. Okay. How about let's read this paragraph together. Brothers, first, go. We need
both the sealing and the pledging because God's work on us. Two kinds of inheritances are involved.
Sisters. Brothers.
Our inheritance is God Himself.
Amen.
God's economy, we are an inheritance to God, and God is an inheritance to us.
This is a mutual inheritance.
Spirit has its own seal, is our guarantee that we shall be His inheritance.
Amen. 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 And of our being constituted with Him. So eventually, the New Jerusalem will be a mutual dwelling place of God with man. God dwelling in man, man dwelling in God. It will also be a mutual inheritance where God enjoys us and we enjoy God. Right? And this is being carried out by the Spirit in our spirit as the Lord is transforming us, sealing us, giving us as a pledge. So what do we need to do? We need to cooperate with Him.
Amen.
We have the Spirit in our spirit, and we need to allow Him to carry out His work in us. Amen. How about let's close with a little prayer with your neighbor. Okay, just 2s and 3s.